Welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Let us begin this week's lesson with the Lord's Prayer, followed by our pastor's sermon. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our gospel reading this week is Mark 8, 27 through 38. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on his way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days be raised again. And he said all this quite openly. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowds with his disciples and said to them, "If any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let's now hear from Pastor Kendra Wild.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I would like to begin this morning by taking a survey, and I would like to know how long people have been married. So if you ever have been, or if you are married, raise your hand. Okay, so if you've been married 5 years, keep your hands up. Good. 10? Good. 15? Ben and I celebrated our 16th wedding anniversary last week, and we celebrated by eating good food and then going out to get a washer and dryer. Okay, so 20 years, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. The Halbines and the Rosens, tell us how many years? 62. And how many years? 67. Amazing. So in being married, I have learned that there are limits to how well we can know another person. Even two people who have shared a wonderfully long life together still can get surprised by the other person, right? Yes, yes. All of a sudden, you might learn of your partner's interest in beekeeping or who they really voted for, or that all along they've not really liked Sloppy Joes. Surprises abound. And there may be some mysteries so unfathomable that they may never fully be comprehended, like which pocket of the purse the chapstick is in. We are known, yet unknown. We are familiar, yet still hold surprises. And Jesus, fully human, is no different. We get a picture today of how he reveals something new about himself to the disciples. Let's take a look. So imagine in your mind's eye that group of dusty travelers in robes and sandals. Their heads are covered with scarves to protect them from the sand and the wind. And they're trudging to the ancient land of Caesarea Philippi. And these are simple travelers, fishermen and tax collectors, and disciples. Their leader, this one whom they call Jesus, has healed with the touch of his hand, and he's made friends with unlikely people. And others have obviously been talking about him. For we hear Jesus ask, "Who do people say that I am?" And we overhear this speculation. Well, some say John the Baptist or Elijah, and others say other prophets, Jeremiah. And then Jesus moves to the critical question. Yes, okay, but who do you say that I am? And we get to hear Simon Peter say triumphantly, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus tries to teach them. He tries to teach them about what this means, how he will be judged by the elders and the scribes, how he will undergo great suffering and be killed, and on the third day rise again. Now, Peter was not convinced. Peter thought that Jesus had lost his last mind. And don't you like how Peter kind of takes Jesus aside to rebuke him, so as if to keep Jesus from losing face in front of the guys, right? Peter does not want to hear about a suffering Messiah. He's looking for a victorious Messiah. Peter is looking for one who will win at the world's games. He is looking for someone who will show their power, who will command and rule. Even after all of the miles they have walked together, all of the conversations they've had around the campfire, even after their 3-year friendiversary, Peter still doesn't know who Jesus is. And really, how like Peter are we? Do we really get Jesus? Do we get that Jesus, as God, is not really so much about self-preservation, he's about self-giving? Do we get that God is self-giving in ways that just don't make a whole lot of sense to us and to our ideas of win and lose, right and wrong, insider and outsider way of going about life? Now, of course, God has been trying to reveal who God is through Jesus from the very beginning by having a mom without status, there being no room for him in the inn, by gathering around him a team not of all-stars, but of nobodies from Nowheresville. And he has tried to teach them things that just tilt their minds, by saying things like, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And if you want to find your life, then you lose it. And the greatest among you must become servants. And if someone slaps you on the cheek, you should offer them the other as well. And if someone asks for your cloak, you should give them your shirt too." All of this losing, all of this losing that Jesus is trying to teach us about, does not really matter to us. Because ultimately, our self-worth, the source of our dignity, the source of our lovability, does not lie in who is right and who is wrong, who is good and who is bad, who wins and who loses the game. Our worth, our dignity, our lovability lies within that verse of Genesis 1:26 that says that we are made in God's image and that we are claimed in the waters of baptism, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And being made in the image of God leaves within us this residue, this sense, this knowledge, really, that this whole game, this whole system of winners and losers, this is empty. And I don't know about you, but I know that our identity as God's beloved sons and daughters, the source of our worth and our dignity and our lovability, is nourished and honored every time I come here and once again hear about God's crazy love for us through this crucified God who doesn't mind losing. This, brothers and sisters, this is the mark of the cross on us and within us. And this is what can come shining through us in surprising and unexpected ways, leaving even those who have known us for a lifetime a little astounded when we extend forgiveness, when we are able to start the hard conversation, when we risk being extravagantly generous, when we extend a hand to the stranger, when we show mercy to those who deserve every word of the carefully crafted email that we never sent, to those to be able to relax despite not being good enough, knowing that we are, by God's great grace, becoming more than we could ever possibly imagine. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening, and have a Christ-filled day.